Okay, we're picking up 10 lines from the top of Hey Amud Aleph. We're continuing discussing different Amoraim who would get emotional when reading different psukim. Rabbi Yochanan Kimaiti Laikra Bachi, Tizchene Lo Levalo Chinam. So Rabbi Yochanan, when he got to the pasuk over here, this pasuk is in Eov, he used to cry. What would the pasuk say? Again, reading it in, Vetizchene Bo Levalo Chinam. You incited me to destroy him for no reason. This is a reference to Eov, that Hashem is kilu telling the Satan that he tricked him into making Eov suffer by telling him that if he would make Eov suffer, then Eov would become a rasha. So this was something that was a kilu, a trickery of Hashem. Obviously, the Gemara Tota tells us that Eov was chai of punishment because there was three people, right? There was that Paro consulted what to do, and Eov was silent against the decree of the Jews. So for that, he was afflicted with Yisur, and Yisur ran away. And so that we see over there, and the Bilam was trying to convince them to kill all of them. So anyway, so the Gemara says that he was chayav of the punishment, but still maybe I wouldn't have been as harsh without the fact that the Satan had convinced Takash Baruch Hu Kaviyachal. Obviously, what this means on a deeper level, but Hashem had been convinced by the Satan to make the punishment even worse. Evet Shrabba Mesisin Lo Venise, a slave whose master they incite is incited against acts of the slave. Takana Yisrael, is there any way to get around this? Is there any remedy for him? So Gemara said, Rabbi Yochanan, ki maite lai kri bachi, also Rabbi Yochanan used to cry about another pasuk. Hein begadosh of lo yamin. That hein, even behold, even when they're a kadosh, when they're very holy, they still not necessarily have a muna. I begadosh of lo yamin. Now even if the holy ones, he cannot have any faith in them. So then b'man yamin, so who can he have faith in? Akash Baruch Hu doesn't have faith in the people who are kadosh, who seemingly could be the ones that he could rely on. Even them he can't rely on, so this is a very scary pasuk, because he would cry by this. The Gemara just continues relating a story about this. Yom Yichad Avi Chaza B'orcha, when Rabbi Yochanan was going on a trip, Hachaz Yalu Garva Davi Manake Ta'ane Yisosar, a person who was gathering figs, Shavik Anach Tamate V'shak Anach Talamate, he would leave those that were ripe and take those that were not ripe yet. Rabbi Yochanan said to this guy, aren't the ones that are ripe are better? They're better to eat. Amalei Hane L'orcha Ba'inilu. So he says, no, I need these figs for my journey. The unripe figs, I could take them on my trip. It's easier. However, the ones that are ripe are going to already spoil before the ending of the journey. So therefore, I'm not taking them. So then, Rabbi Yochanan heard this. Amar, he said to himself, this reminds me of the pasuk of Hainu Dechsev, Hain Bekadosh of Lo Yamin. That he cannot have any faith even in the holy ones. And over here, just as the figs which are ripe, they're ready to be eaten, are taken on a long journey. So there, the figs which are ripe and ready, you don't take them on the journey because you're afraid they're going to spoil. So too, there's people who are tzaddikim who you're afraid that you let them die early, young, because you're afraid that they'll start sinning when they get older. So they're perfect right now and they have no sins. So you take them before they have any sins, before they get older and they start to spoil. That's what Rabbi Yochanan was attempting to suggest. Any, the Gemara says that Shudav Ahu Tamid Adavi B'Shachvusid Rabbi Alexandri. There was a Talmud Chacham who was a young Talmud Chacham by the neighborhood of Rabbi Alexandri. V'chashiv Adizutar, he passed away again, very young. V'yamar Rabbi Alexandri said about him, Ibai Haim Rabbanan Havi Chaye. If this Talmud had been more of a tzaddik, he would have lived. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Maybe he was the biggest tzaddik in the world. Say it like Rabbi Yochanan. V'misa, if Rabbi Yochanan is correct, Dilma Haim B'Kadosh Av Lo Yamin Hava. Maybe he was somebody who Taka had no Aviros. And the only reason Akash Baruch Hu decided to take his life prematurely was because of the fact that maybe he was going to be later spoiled, Kilu, and not be a perfect person as he was right now. So we see from here, based on Rabbi Yochanan, there's a kasha in Rabbi Yochanan, why would Rabbi Alexandri say this? So Gemara says, no, because this person, we had a Mesorah, the Ahum Evayim, Rabbos of Anam Mesorah, they knew that this Talmud was someone who rebelled against his teachers. The Rashi says, what was he specifically do? Rabbi Alexandri, Yamakibo, Shaloyam, and Akdoshim, he knew that it wasn't holy. King the Pasuk of Hela says that a Rasha shouldn't live long and shouldn't be Arev Arichos Yamim. And the Gemara and Kiddushin Rashi quote says, Morazu Eini Odem Ha'uk Shomer Ve'adar Tepnei Zakin Ve'isam Alekecha Ve'omer Morazu Kvot Shemayim. That the respect over here, he didn't properly respect his Rebbeim, and therefore this person wasn't a tzaddik in his lifetime either. That's why he was deserving of punishment. Ve'enechanami, the Rabbi Yochanan statement is correct, that when a person is a full-fledged tzaddik and very holy person, he sometimes will be taken young so that he could die in a state of shlemus before having committed any sins. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yochanan, when he used to get to this pasuk, he used to cry. I'm going to come near you. I'm going to judge you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Klal Yisrael, this pasuk is in Malachi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge you. I'm going to judge those who are doing, those who are mechashafim, those who are sorcering, manafim, those who are violating Gila Arayos, right? They're sleeping with Eish Zish, Shavanishboim HaShaker, and they swear falsely, and also those who Oshke Shachashir, they don't pay the wages of the workers that they're chayef to pay. So the Gemara says, Evet Shirabu Markav Lezumar La'ido, a slave that the master has come nearing him to judge him, and also quickly to testify against him. Takana Yeshua, is there going to be any takana? Is there any remedy for this? No, it's very bad. Rechum and Zaka said further, this pasuk is also scary, because this pasuk, in the same pasuk, it says, I'm going to judge, and it says, those who do kishuf, the sorcery, and those who violate eshishes, which are chayiv misa. And the lower swears of Nishan and Lashaka swear falsely, granted these are nisr lav, and not paying your workers is also nisr lav. And the mitzvah says to pay them on time, both. But still, the pasuk is equating the two of them. Hashem is going to judge them. He's going to judge us so strongly, even with these kilu kalos, that they're going to be judged like they're very serious. That's a very chamur thing. Reish Lakish goes, Vaitar Reish Lakish, kol amata dino shel ger. Anybody who is mata the din, he doesn't judge fairly for a ger, someone who's a convert. Kilu mata dino shel mala, it's as if he had cheated Hashem himself. Shenemar mata ger, the pasuk says that those who are cheating a ger, the judgment of a ger, umatik, even the pasuk can be pronounced as mati, you are ki'ilu, you're cheating me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying you're mati, or mata the din, you're turning over the din, and you're cheating me, and that's what's so bad over here. Marsha is medayik from the fact that it says in all the other pasukim, in all the words of the pasuk, it says bamecha shafim, ubamanafim, it's written with the bays beforehand, and umati is written without it with the bays, is indicating that the word is actually referring to not someone else, but rather actually cheating on HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and that's why we have this drasha from the bays in the pasuk. Very interesting how I guess the drasha. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa kol ha'eseh davar mischaret bo. Anybody who does something and he regrets his actions, mochlin l'miyad, he's forgiven immediately. Shedemar velo yira'uni, the pasuk says, they do not fear me. So they commit a sin because they do not fear me. And the Gemara says, ha yira'uni mochlin l'miyad, however, if they do fear me, even if they sinned, they do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive them. That is the din over here that the Gemara is saying that if you do tshuva mi'ira, that you're going to be forgiven. Tosfos points out that's not so pashut. We have machlokas about this in the Maseches Yuma, that we see that the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel in Yuma tells us that tshuva is tole yom kippur is mechaper, and we have another mandamar that says you have tshuva is going to be mechaper na esev elosa say tshuva is mechaperes, and we have another one that maybe in yom tshuva. Tosfos says maybe you're mochlin lo miyad. If you're a shev, you're mochlin lo aval mechila gemura. You're going to still be a chayev yisurin. So Tosfos says in Echami that we could have the case over here that you're going to be mechaper only through yisurin. So it depends over here. You'll be forgiven immediately, maybe with forgiven immediately, but maybe you still need as part of your kapara, your atonement, to get yisurin, to get punished with suffering. That's a whole shayla. But that's bad. Then what's going on over here? Rabbi Yochanan kimayt elai kra bachir. Rabbi Yochanan, when he came to the following pasuk, he would cry. Ki es kol ma'aseh Elokim yavo b'mishpat al kol ne'elam. Every action a person does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge him. Every hidden thing, evet rabba shokel lo shkagos kazdoinos. It says over here that ki kol ma'aseh Elokim, every single thing a person does. So it's sounding over here, even though what's hidden, which you don't even know about, you're going to be judged for something which you didn't even realize, unintentional. You didn't even realize that Avera Hashem is going to judge you for that. Takana Yeshua, is there any remedy for this person? So Zakta Gemara Maya kol ne'elam. What does it mean from the words, an every hidden matter? That the Gemara is here telling us, what is kol ne'elam, every hidden matter, which implies that even something very small. So says the Gemara, Merav, ze'ahore kina b'fnei chavero v'nimaspa. First, someone who kills a louse in presence of his friend, and his friend is very disgusted by this killing of that. Shmuel amar ze'arak b'fnei chavero v'nimaspa. Someone who spits in front of his friend is very disgusted by that. Even this temporary thing, which he didn't realize, is going to be creating his friend a little bit of unpleasantness, even that you're going to be judged for. So this is very scary, that even for such a small thing you're going to be punished for. So goals are getting even something more chamar, obviously. Ma'im tov v'imra. What is meant by the hemshech of the pasuk, which says im tov v'imra? Right? It says, ki yos kumay sev v'yushet yon alam, al kol ne'alam. Im tov v'imra. The pasuk ends off with what is good or bad, Hashem is going to punish you. So what's going on over here? What's his punishment? It's something which you do is which you think is good, but really it's not necessarily a good thing to be doing. You give tzedakah to a poor person in public. He gave a person a small coin in public, and everybody saw he was giving the tzedakah. And the person was very embarrassed about it. Amalei mutav de lo yavisle. It would have been better for you not to give him the tzedakah at all. Mahashu de yavisle v'nachasu. Now you give it to him, and you embarrassed him in public. That even though obviously it's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, still embarrassing somebody, and you could have given it in a way that wouldn't have embarrassed him. So you're cute leader myself giving tzedakah is negated by the fact that you had embarrassed him in public. Masan b'seser is a very big thing to give to people who don't even know where it's coming from. They don't even know that you're giving it. Even better if you don't even know who's giving it. So you're not maksev toiva. That's the best way to give tzedakah. That's why the organizations obviously have to know it's a reliable organization, but that they're giving it there. Honestly, that's type of the best type of thing because you don't know where it's going, so you don't have this gaiva towards the person, and the person has no idea where he's getting it from. He's not embarrassed by it. And therefore, that's the best type of tzedakah that a person can give. Zok tegmar vayter davar derer Rav Shila Amrei. Rav Shila used to say, there are no tzedakah le'isha b'seser. Someone who's giving tzedakah to a woman in a secret place, he gives tzedakah to this woman. That's going to bring her a chshad, that they're going to think she had no money before. She went to this area which is quiet, nobody saw her. And all of a sudden she has money, so what's everyone going to think? That she hired herself for snus, you know, hired her for inappropriate things that she sold herself for. So Rav Amar, no, they're giving Torah, is giving her meat for Shabbos, but it's uncut meat, meaning meat that's missing some certain aspects of it. It's a fully shechted meat that's kosher, but you have to take away certain things. You have to take away the ginanasha. You have to remove certain things to make the basher kosher. We're calling that basher mechuzak is not properly cut, meaning it's not fully kosher. There's still more steps you have to do. And we're afraid that you give it to them on Erev Shabbos. She's so busy, and she doesn't really know how to take care of the forbidden fats, so that's going to be, so it's going to lead to an iser potentially for having a trave. The other about Rava Meshaga, wait a second, Rava used to set his uncut, meaning his meat that was not properly taken with the Gidon Asha and things like that off of Shabbos, he gave it to his wife. So how could this be that it's Asher? So where's the no? Rava was different. Shani Bas Rav Chisra, Rava married Rav Chisra's daughter, the Gadol's daughter, and she was a genius and she knew everything. Kimle Begavet Bekia, she was an expert in this halachas. She knew, you know, a certain woman know more than the men. And I'm not saying she did, but I'm saying, you know, sometimes these women mamish know the halacha in and out. So she was us. So she was an expert in this halacha. He knew he could trust her even Erev Shabbos. Biyochon kimaita like Rav Bacher. Biyochon might come to the following pasuk. He would cry. Vayakis and Sitzar Osir Rosh Rabosu Tzavos. So the pasuk says that you're going to come across all of these terrible things that are going to happen to you. Evet Rosh and a slave whose master brings upon him all these terrible things. Takana Yeshlo. Is there any way, any remedy, anything he could do to get to fix himself? Again, obviously not. So it's a problem. That's why he was crying. My Rosh Tzavos. What do I mean that? Bad things are going to happen to us, and also tzaros, also things which are tzaros, like bad things are going to happen to us. Amarav, roosh and asa tzaros lo zelo zelo. It's evil things are going to be compounded with other bad things, so it's really bad. And what is that? Kigon zibur v'akrava. Example: someone who got bitten by first a bee, like a wasp specifically, and then a scorpion. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, Rashi points this out, that the Gemara tells us that they have the opposite remedy. So what are you supposed to do? You're going to do the opposite one, so it's going to help you for the bee sting, but then it's going to be horrible for your snake bite, and then it's going to kill you from that. And if you do the snake bite one, it's going to kill you because of the bee sting. So you're really stuck. There's no etza. So that's what's happening over here. So this is what the Rava used to say. That people used to say a zuz is not there for buying something. However, to hang up on a basket is to be found. I skipped the line. So the Gemara says, Shmuel's line. The first is someone who's making money available to a poor person only when he's dire straits. But you waited to that point. You didn't help him out any time before that. That's what Rashi points out. So that's not that you could have done it much better. He would be able to buy things properly and not be in such a case where he's in debt and everyone knows that he's struggling and he didn't have money before and they're going to charge him more. It's going to be a bad situation. So I never mentioned, that's what the popular saying happens. This is not available for purchasing something. However, to hang up in a basket, it can be found. So that means over here that the teaching us that money is available to be wasted, but you could use all the money to go to a fancy dinner, but to give it to a poor person, that's what you don't do. So that's a scary, scary thing also we should take for ourselves also. I'm going to be so angry on them, I'm going to leave them, and I'm going to steal my face on my the famous Hester Panim, Hashem is going to hide his face from us. Scary. Amar Bardla Bartavim, Amar Rav, Kol She'inu Behester Panim. Anyone is not going to be where Hashem hides his face from them. Einu Mehem, he's not part of Klal Yisrael. Specifically, Klal Yisrael, Hashem cares about us so much that he turns his face away from us as a punishment. When it comes to the non-Jews, he'll just let them do whatever they want, and then they'll just wait to the point where they're Chayav Kliya, where they're going to be totally annihilated, and that's in Echanami, what happened to many, right? The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, all the empires that we know, the Persian Empire, they're all gone. Hashem waits till certain point where everything adds up, and then the whole thing ends up getting wiped out. Nobody even knows who they were anymore. Kol she'ena b'vayelach, I know it is not the subject of the lachas of that they're going to be vayelachol, the hamshel l'basak, that they're going to come and take the money of Jews, so that's not shaykh to, obviously, they're stealing it from the Jews. That's going to be something which is only for the goyim and not for the Jews. Turning on to the next seven of days, ena mehem is not going to be part of the Klal Yisrael. Again, Rava is not going to be he's not going to have Hashem turn his face from him, nor is it going to be that in the punishment of that you're going to be something which is la'echol to be eaten. So do you know how much money I'm forced to send secretly to Shvar Malka? So I am in the punishment. So if you have the Rabbanan, I still the Rabbanan looked upon Rava because they thought that the Gemara was assuming that he had a lot of funds and he should be collecting the money that they should be taking money from him. So the Gemara says Adach Shadur Shavar Malka. So the agents of Shavar Malka came. The Gavaya they stole all the money from Rava. Amar Rava said, so they didn't think Rava get the proper tax, whatever it was, to Shavar Malka, and Rava really did. But the Rabbanan looked at it to something that he didn't do, so he didn't realize, and they looked very negatively upon him. So we see that the Chachamim, that through the fact that they look upon someone and they want an exact punishment from him, that effect is going to be devastating on that person. And Rava, he didn't even do anything wrong. Still, the mistaken impression that he had done something wrong was therefore enough to cause him to be, it was either be killed or died early or to be poverty stricken. So here, that's what happened to Rava, that they stole all of his money. So this is the Gemara Vayter back to the pasuk which we said, Vanochi Astir Astir Panim Beyomahu. I am going to conceal my face on that day. Even though I'm turning my face on that day, but still, I'll speak to them in a dream. So that meaning in a dream form, I'm going to teach them that they still have a way to do tshuva. Rav Yosef Amar Yadu Natuya Aleinu, his hand is outstretched to protect us. Shenemar Vatzel Yadik Sasicha, in the shadow of his hand, I'm going to be covered. Akash Baruch Hu. Even at the time when he's totally seeming like he's turning his face away from us, he still has his hand out there. You know, we have that stories in the Holocaust, and obviously that was a time of major Hester Panim. And yet there were the survivors always said they saw Yad Hashem all every day. So even though there was only Tzichidim, unfortunately, 6 million of our people had died and were killed, but still there was still a little bit of that aspect over here that Hashem sent out his arm to those who survived. The amazing miracles that happened to those who survived, that was something which was unbelievable. Rabbi Yoshua ben Chanina ben Kai Kaiser, he was by the Caesar's palace. Ach v'le'ahu apikorsta. So a person who was a Apikorus, right? He was a heretic. Came and signaled to Rabbi Yoshua. He said, "Amad adrunim mare la'ape minei." The Jews are a nation whose masters turned his face away from them. Achvule Rabbi Yoshua signaled back to him, and they were in front of the king, so they weren't talking directly. This was a sign of respect. You don't speak in front of the king, just like in davening, you don't speak. So hopefully, you're in front of the king, Kalvachomer. So here they were signaling to each other. Yadon Telenu, he says, no, you signal back to him that his hand is overstretched to us. Amrle Kesar Rabbi Yoshua. So seeing this, the Caesar said to Rabbi Yoshua, "Machvule, what did he signal to you?" Rabbi Yoshua replied to him, "Amadajrinim mare la'ape minei." That he signaled to me that the Jews, Hashem turned his face on us, he doesn't care about us anymore. That's what the early Christians believe. Maybe it was a Christian. The Christians, that was their whole belief, that we were the chosen nation. We blew it, and we were not anymore. And then they picked Jay, and then he was the leader. So that's why they have a hard time understanding how we could be in Eretz Israel again. That's and they were cursed for never going back to Israel. That was part of their whole Masorah. And we see that that's a whole Kiyum that completely rejects everything that they believe in. But anyway, that's a side point. So we see that maybe this person was an early Christian, because that's a lot of times those were the meaning that were in front of the, or causing a lot of trouble for the Jews. But either way, so the Gemara says, what did he signal to you? So he said, he signaled to me that Kadosh Baruch Hu turned the face from the Jews. And I signaled back to him that his hand is outstretched to us. So he asked the heretic, what did he signal to you? So he said, I signaled to him that Hashem, that the master of the world, has turned his face on the Jews. He doesn't care about them anymore. So what did he respond to you? He said, I don't know what he was signaling back. You're doing these signals in front of me. What you're doing is seemingly as a sign of respect. And Yahweh Kamimalka, you're exchanging before the king. You don't even understand what's going on. It's an insult to me. If you understood what's going on, then I wouldn't mind that you're signaling in front of me. You know what an insult it is to me that you're making these signals. You don't understand what they are. It's disrespectful. So therefore, they took him away, and they killed him as a punishment for disrespecting him. So Rabbi Shuvan Chanana, he was the one who always was able to reject all of the apricorses that people used to say. And they used to say, and when he died, they said, what's going to become of us? All the people reject us, and the heretics are arguing with us all the time. And we had the best answers from Yeshua ben Hananiah, was able to reject every time that they always used to leverage against us. So they said, Avda Eitzam Banim Nishach HaMasayim, that if Avda Eitzam Banim, that the council is lost from the children, so therefore the wisdom is going to be Avda, Nishach is going to become spoiled. So given Shavda Eitzam Banim, so since the Gemara has addressed it now, the additional level of interpretation, that once the wisdom and the council is lost from the children, meaning the Jews, Nishach HaMasayim Shalom HaSayim, so then even the wisdom of the Goyim are going to be able to counterbalance us is also going to go down. So that we see from there that Gosh Baruch Hu is not going to make it, that they'll be able to be stronger than us ever with their arguments. If I say or the following argument, the pasuk by Esau says, travel, go with us, I'm going to go alongside you. I'm always going to be alongside you, I'm never going to be above you. That whatever, I'm always going to try to convince you to not keep the Torah or whatever, but I'm always going to be on the level where you can respond to it. Shaka was very fond of quoting the pasuk of Tehillim. The pasuk says Hashem literally is praising Gosh Baruch Hu. He literally gives shelek katzamer, like snow, like tzamer, like wool. Like white wool, that's a very nice pasuk. Rav Shetha always likes to quote that it's not referring to a different level of interpretation. Anosin Shalik Katzamer referring to not just the wool, but rather Anosin Shalik Katzamer is giving like a coat. The wool coat that you're wearing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives you a nisayon, never gives you anything in life that you can't handle. That whatever you have in life, you always can handle. Whatever nisayon you have in life, you can handle. Same thing over here with the level of our recourses, the level that we have, all the nisayons that we have in our door, which are significantly harder in many respects than the previous doros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it to us because He knows that we have the ability and we have the capabilities to withstand all of these yitzharos and yitzhar, all these taivas, and be able to be obed Hashem b'shleimus and be really be obed Hashem and Yerushimayim. So that's a very nice idea from the Gemara. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Lai, having selected with Darga the Rabbi Shila, he was going up the steps by Rabbi Shila's house. Shamila Yunuka Dave Karkari, while he was going up, he heard that someone on the lower floor must be, was reading a pasuk in the Vim. He was reading the pasuk in Amos. He was saying, Ki hene yotzer harim bubore ruach magil adamas ma secho. That Hashem is the one who forms the mountains and He makes the winds. And also He is going to know even what the person's masicho, what his words are. Amar says, every word the person says, any remedy for him? He knows every single thing we say, obviously. You know, he's going to judge us for us. Masicho, what does it mean? His words. Specifically, Amar Rav, even extra talk, Bittel's, talk between a man and his wife even, is going to be mentioned to a person in the time of his death, that the sicha b'teilam, is going to be something which is a very chamur thing. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that the Rav was never spoke in his life a word of Bittul Torah. He always spoke Torah. Everything was relevant to Torah. That's why there's a famous thing on the Gaonim. That's the Masorah of the Gaonim. The Gemara in the Shas never says that. The Kesem Mishnah says, I don't know where that's from. So some point over here, they say over here, maybe this is where the source for the Rambam, because the Rav, because Rav said this about himself. But we have a Masorah from the Gaonim. I think there's like 8 things that Rav used to do. He never used to look more than Dalat Amos out of his Dalat Amos. So when Rav died, his Talmidim said, this is unbelievable, all the unhagas that he had. We can't take all of them upon ourselves. So each one tried to accept upon himself one of them. That's why some have the thing that Rav Yosef became blind. Either he has to be blind, actually blinded himself, which would be much bigger shaila. How in the world was he allowed to do this? That's a whole big tumult. But that's how the Masorah said that Rav Yosef was taking upon himself this after Rav died, because Rav never looked outside of his 4 amos, which is impossible ever in his life. And it was impossible for Yosef to do that. So therefore, he either became blind, he has to be blinded in order to mekayim this aspect of Rav. That's a whole, we don't understand exactly the deeper command of this. But Rav never said a word of Sirik HaBetelah. So the Gemara says, but it's really true though. Any, Rav Kana Vegana Tutipuri the Rav. Rav Kana once was hiding under the bed of Rav while he was having relations with his wife. Why in the world does he love to do this? Because he was wanted to learn every aspect of his Rebbe, even this aspect for how is he mekayim the mitzvah of Ona, the mekayim of being with his wife. So Vishamay Desach Patachal Vasatrachav, he saw that Rav was speaking to his wife, he was laughing with his wife, and then only afterwards did he have relations with her. Amar Rav Kana said, Dame Puriya de Rav, Kimanda Lotayim Laitav Shila, Rav's mouth looks like it has not tasted any food. So he said that from the man. Amar Lai, so Rav responded to him, Kane Pu Kana, leave Lavar Achar. It's not proper that you're here, even though you're trying to learn from here. So he didn't, nevertheless, we see Rav talked and laughed before having relations, so why was he allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, Lokasha Kanda Tsarach Lursuya, there he must appease her. That's part of the mitzvah of Ona, is to, and also some of the Torah brings down that even to increase his own desire, that creates more of a stronger child. So that creates a stronger child. That's the Torah writes in Halachas about Ona, of a relationship with a man and wife, that maybe that's going to increase a person's strength for the child, or that it should be that that's the kindness of Ona, that she should be appeased, and that she should enjoy the act, and that's something that should infuse the act with her ratzon, with her will. That's part of the mitzvah of Ona. So however, he does not need to appease her, then in meaning not within relations, then he would not say one word of Sikha B'Teil. So the Gemara says, another pasuk, which we're talking about, Hashem hiding himself, Kilu. He says, my spirit is going to be hidden from the chambers because of your gaiva, because of your, you guys are all haughty. Amar Shmuel bar, Eini Mishmei de Rav, Malkum Yeshua Kalash Baruch, Mistarim Shemo. He puts his name in Mistarim. My name is Gaver, because of the haughtiness. Amar Shmuel bar Yitzhak, Nei Gavas, because of the haughtiness of Klai Sol, Shnit Lamem, Vinit Nel Oiv de Kachavim. That was taken from the given to the idol worshippers. Shmuel bar Nachmini, Amar Nei Gavas, Shemalchu Shemayim. Because of the exaltedness of Malchus Shemayim that was removed. This over here is the bad thing. Hashem is hidden chambers, loss of his glory when his nation's not listening to what he does. So the Gemara says, Gemara, Umi Ika Bechia Kamek Hashbaruch Hu, Hashem really weep. Amar Papa Ein Atzivas Amin Hakash Baruch Hu, there's no concept of Hashem being sad. Shinemar Hod Vadal Fana Hosan Chedun Koyma, glory and majesty before Hashem, and light, everything is happy there. Lokash Abad Dekavai, that refers to Hashem cries only in his inner chambers. His hidden chambers. That's his hidden chambers we're referring to, his inner chambers. The outer chambers are only expressed as simcha. Again, one of the deeper kavanas of this Gemara are obviously much deeper than just the surface. Is it really true the outer chamber of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's no weeping. The pasuk says, and Hashem called out on the day of destruction of the base of Mikdash that there should be a time of sadness. So this pasuk is in Shayahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling this out. So it says Hashem calling out, done publicly in the outer chambers of Hashem, that he's calling out to cry. That the base of Mikdash being destroyed, that even the angels were crying. The pasuk also in Yeshayahu tells us that the Mizbeach, they cried out, that the angels of Hashem were crying. They're crying bitterly, not just crying. They were really crying. That's a terrible day. That's why Yom Tisha B'Av, right? The saddest day of the year. Hashem should also cry because the flock of Hashem was taken into captivity. Amar Belazar, Shalosh Demo, Salah Lama, Wayakosh Baruch has three tiers. Achas Mikdash Rishon, one for the first of Mikdash, Val Mikdash. The other one is for the second base of Sheini, the second base of Mikdash, Vachas Al Yisrael Shagalim Koman. In fact, we have to go into exile. That's also really terrible. Vikadamri Achas Al Bit Torah, the lack of Torah is going to be from sending us all around, all over the world, all the time, never having a constant place where we could have Yeshiva Das to sit and learn. Then we're going to have Bittul Torah all the time. That's what we're crying for. Bishul Madam Al Yisrael Shagalu, and Anderson, the one who says that Klai Yisrael exiled, that's why their cry was, Hanet Chsiv Kinishba Eder Hashem, Hashem's flock had been taken into captivity. So I understand it. Elamad Damar Al Bittul Torah, but the one who says is the fact that they didn't study Torah, my Kinishba Eder Hashem, what is the fact that Hashem were taken into captivity? So the Gemara says no, because the answer we just mentioned, Kevan Shagalu Yisrael Koman, as soon as Klai Yisrael had been exiled, Eidel Chabitul Torah Koman, the fact that exiled and is in the same place and not able to learn, that's going to be obviously lead to the greatest Bittul Torah, is when a person has to go from exile to exile, he's not able to learn. And that's what creating a tremendous bit of Torah. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries. Tanur Rabbanan, that's a pretty famous Gemara here. Shlosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu Bokhan HaMecholayam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries for three type of people every day. One is able to learn and sit in Kollel and learn, but he doesn't do so. He just he has to go off to work. This is all tumult. What does it mean? One is unable to learn, and he does. Maybe it's supposed to mean the Pashuto, that a person who's not right to be in Kollel and sitting and learning, and he is. That's battling himself all day. That's a Kosh Baruch who's crying for him. And someone who's a communal leader who behaves arrogantly towards his community, that's also what Kosh Baruch Hu cries for. There's a famous story of the Brisker Rav. I think it's from the Brisker Rav. There's a famous story of the Netziv. He wasn't being matzliach in his limudim, and he writes this in the Akhtama to the Hamek Sheila, McDowell, one of them. And he says there that they were going to take him off the not be in cheder anymore. And he heard his parents, and he overheard them all in the middle of the night, and he was up, and he begged them the next morning, let me try one more day. And they ended up not sending him off to be an apprentice for whatever it was, a shoemaker, whatever it was going to be. He ended up being the Netziv. So he writes, tremendous Shechiyan Hashem, after 120, they're going to ask him, where's the Amek Davar, where's the Amek Shela, where are these Farim? He said, what are you talking about? I'm the shoemaker. He says, no, you were destined for this. And that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying over himself. So there's a story that someone like a big Amaris came to ask a Brisker Rav a few shailas, and he maybe wrote a sefer, a pamphlet, and a Brisker Rav went through it. And this is how the story, the legend goes. I don't know if there's actually a story. And he says, I'm afraid he's referring to that story. I think it was about the Brisker Rav. I don't know if it was Brisker Rav, the story was said about. He's like, I'm afraid they're going to ask 120, where were your shoes? The opposite side of the story. Come on to this Gemara over here. That he was saying, like, this person's not supposed to be learning. He should have gone off to work. We're better off for him. He's an Amaris. It's not necessarily the biggest Talmud Chacham. Okay, obviously, a person who shtags and works hard at learning, that's a very big thing, and is able to make himself learn. So the Achronim do discuss, what does it mean that you're sitting and learning when you're not supposed to be sitting and learning? There's a big shayla over there. Okay, let's go right there. Rabbi Havi Nakut, Sefer Kinos. Rabbi once holding the Sefer Kinos. which means the Sefer Eicha. The Kagar Begave, and he was reading Kimat Alay Pesuka Hashlech Moshamay Maritz, that the Hashem sent Klai Yisrael Kilu from heaven to earth. The glory of Klai Yisrael, Nafam Yade, the book fell from his hand. Amar, it was like he couldn't even hold it. From high to deep, just like Klai Yisrael went down, also this book went down. Again, obviously, deeper kavanos over here. Rabbi Vechia Avishak, the Vazib Orcha, once Rabbi Chia going on a journey. Kimat Alayu Maisa. I came to a certain place. Amr, they said to each other, let's ask the people in the town, the residents who live here, if there's any big Talmud Chacham we should go pay our respects to. There is a big Talmud Chacham. However, he's blind. You should remain here. You shouldn't degrade your position of the Nasi by visiting. He's blind. He's not even going to be able to come greet us. So don't go pay respects to him. I'll just go pay respects to him. Rabbi said, no, I'm going to go. I want to go with you. And he went with him. So when they were leaving from the blind person, you came to pay respects to those who see, but not does not see, meaning me, the blind person. Just like you are the zocher of that, I give you a bracha that you should be tizkulak upanim aroyim veinam nirim. You should be zocher to merit to pay respects to Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is seen is not seen. Amar lei, Rabbi said to Rabbi, after hearing such a beautiful bracha, ika hashtem minasam hay brachasa. If I didn't come, you would have been removed from such a special bracha. So the Gemara says, Amr Lay, so they said to the blind Talmud Chacham, Man Shemelach, where do you hear this thing that you should, it's such a good thing to go pay respects to me, to this Talmud Chacham, the fact that you're the blind Talmud Chacham, that it's such a big Indian. Perkat Rabbi Yaakov, he said, I heard it from the base minister of Rabbi Yaakov, the Shir, one time. Rabbi Yaakov, Ishkvar Chataya, Mekabel Ape, the Rabbi Kol Yom, Rabbi Yaakov, he used to pay respects to his teacher every single day. Kikash, when he became very old though, Amr Lay, Lonis Armar, his Rabbi told him, don't come every day, you're very old, you can barely walk. You're not able to. Amar Lei, so he says, no, they're going to live forever and they're not going to see the wise men dying. Over here, the simple reading of the Pasuk Pashup Shad is that you can ever live. Can you ever live eternally? No, this refers to that no one's spared from death, and so too, a wise man passed away, so too the wicked person. But he said, he had a different level of imputation. A person who goes sees Talmud Chacham and Misasan. Seeing the face of Talmud Chacham is like seeing the Shekhinah, which is going to cause you to be able to live long life, the Maharsha says. We see over here that a school of Arichas Yamin, not just all the other brachas you get by going to Talmud Chacham, a school of Arichas Yamin is to go to just seeing the face of Talmud Chacham. So how much more so when they're going to see their life. So that's why it's such a special thing that you came to visit me. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Rav Idi Avua Barlet. We'll pick up with that one, Be'ez Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.